Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. Or sort of. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest. He is one of the hosts of Film Rage. It's Jim Evans, everyone. Woo!
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 Hey!
How's it going, Jim?
You know, every time I know that I get to be on your show, I just have this huge pod boner knowing that, like, I'm just going to have so much fun. Every time I see your beautiful face and talk to you,
what?
it's the most joyful moments that I get. So I am so excited.
And Jim was not prompted to say any of that, everyone.
You can pay me. You can pay me my $4 later.
Yeah. I got you. In loonies, right?
Yes.
Well, we're not here to talk about Canada because Canada sucks. We're here today to talk about Team America, World Police. Yeah.
America. Fuck yeah.
Just in time for the 4th of July, everyone. Close enough. We're right there. Happy birthday, America. This movie came out in 2004. The screenplay is by Trey Parker, Matt Stone, and Pam Brady. Last time you did Cannibal, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We kind of went on this. We're going on this journey together, which I love.
From Ken Russell to Matt and Trey.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, it's really like Trey Parker. Let's be real here.
Yeah, let's.
He's the mastermind behind all of this. And Matt Stone is the Ben Affleck to Trey Parker's Matt Damon. I'm saying it now.
Matt Damon.
Music and lyrics are by Trey Parker. It was directed by Trey Parker. See, this is what I mean. Like, don't get me wrong. Matt Stone probably contributes a lot. He's probably also a very talented writer. It just seems like Trey is taking on everything. He's doing that added step.
He's the talent, let's face it.
And he does a lot of the voices too, which is wild. And according to IMDb, popular Broadway actor Gary Johnston is recruited by the elite counterterrorism organization Team America, World Police. As the world begins to crumble around him, he must battle with terrorists, celebrities, and falling in love. Before we hit record and everything, we were about to have like a really in-depth conversation about comedy and things like that. I would describe this movie as satire, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. The most satirical film that's probably ever been made.
Yes. Sorry, you just caught me off guard where I was like, yeah. Yeah, because they are very racist, sexist, everything is negative that you can think of.
Yeah.
But it's on purpose. Would you say that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, 100%. Everything is 100% on point, but I think what maybe it makes it okay is that it's poking fun at America, the country of these producers' births, more than anyone else. Like,
right.
Team America comes off as the biggest dicks on the planet for what they do. And obviously we're going to talk about this later, but it's like when it's kind of that humor, that comedy, like the Don Rickles comedy, right? It's kind of it's like he makes fun of everybody, including himself. So it's kind of like, how do you say, and it's intentional because these people aren't that way. It's like, one of my dear, dear friends years ago once said to me, you cannot understand contrary unless you see it in your face. I've carried that with me everywhere. When I was in my bands, I used to write songs that people used to go, my God, you're a terrible person. I'm like, no, I write that so people have a contrarian thought to say, no, this is terrible. You're looking in this mirror. This is you. You are these people. And we have to change that. And so they're just, yeah. I mean, there's going to be people that look at this movie and especially now and just go, oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever been made.
Because like I was asking a coworker whilst watching this, I was at work. I was like, "Am I bad
Nice.
for laughing at this?" And he's like, "No, I mean, you understand," because he knows me, and we did have a longer conversation, so I'm paraphrasing here. But he's like, "You know, you understand that like this is satire. This is because there's some comedy movies I've done on this podcast that I'm like, this isn't funny, and this is just very racist and things like that. But this one, I feel like will hold the test of time because of what they are saying and doing and the way that American history has been going in the 21st century. North America, no, sorry, United States of America history has been going for in the 21st century. Let me be even more specific with this. 'Cause like one of the songs, which one was it? Freedom Isn't Free. Like I wrote down, is this supposed to be a parody of Where Were You, which was that 9/11 song that Matt and Trey made fun of in South Park? There was a whole thing about like 9/11. Like there was a whole song that they had that was parodying that. And this one, I was like, this feels like they're still harboring
I
some
think a little
feelings.
bit, but I also took it like because this movie originally I thought this was supposed to be like a complete mirror to the US invading Iraq, which I think a lot of people thought that, but I did a bit of digging into it, and it's actually was initially supposed to be a complete parody of Jerry Bruckheimer films. And that originally it was going to be a complete shot for shot remake of The Day After Tomorrow. That's what they were going to make. But then it obviously malformed into this, which we got, but which it was going to be The Day After Tomorrow. And then I think it was going to be called The Day After the Day. That's what they were going to do. So it's a parody of US action films. And so when you hear that song, to me, like the first thing I thought of wasn't that part. I mean, I'm sure it's all jumbled up. Like we talked about this the last time we talked about these guys, is that they have a stream that goes from the beginning of when they started to where they're at now. But in this particular one, I thought it was, I got more Armageddon. But it's kind of like those cheesy songs that are like rah-rah America songs that are just so corny and overdone in those, like, think of an action film that is
Oh,
like,
there, I mean, I
don't
was
fuck with
like,
America.
this is Mission Impossible, with Tom Cruise, not the TV series. This is the Bourne franchise. 'Cause like when Team America World Police goes to the different countries and then just annihilate
Annihilates.
everything in their crosshairs, I was just like, yeah, this is action movies. This is Fast and Furious franchise. This is Mission Impossible.
Bad Boys franchise. Like to me, Bad Boys is the one that like it's the absolute worst franchise that's ever been created. I don't care. I mean, Fast and the Furious is terrible, but the Bad Boys
Hey,
franchise,
hey, hey.
I think it was in Bad Boys 2. They go through this, I think it's small Mexican village. I forget, but it's a little village. And they literally drive through every single person's house that they live in and basically just destroy everything. And they're laughing all up and just, ha, this is so funny. And I'm like, this is the fucking worst movie that I've ever seen in my life. Because, like, I just couldn't get it out of my head. They were killing these people and destroying their livelihoods for this terrible movie, and they were laughing about it. I'm like, that is this parody. This parody is saying these, first off, these movies are terrible. I'm guessing because I hate them, but all that would made it more funny for me. But then on top of that, then they have these cheese like this cheesy song that's written about America is my
Go.
friend.
Oh yeah, and then the theme song, America, fuck
Fuck
yeah.
yeah. Do 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 do.
Another band-aid I want to rip off right off the top of this episode, well, however far we're into it right now. This is not a musical, I will say. Because there's like,
Isn't it?
I don't, so this is a weird thing, because like when I did Teen Witch,
Okay.
we were like, not a musical, but the songs were written for the movie. So this
Yeah.
is like a weird, like,
Oh, because no one's singing it. Is that why?
well, so like you have Everyone Has AIDS, you have I'm So Lonely, which that is the name of
Okay.
the name of the song.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
I'm not do, because like that also is like part of the whole conversation of like how this is
Of
racist,
racism.
but it's not,
Yeah.
but like they are making, they're poking fun, they're satire, and like they use their Middle Eastern gibberish in this with the terrorists, and like they have Kim
Kim
Jong
Jong
Il
Il.
not being able to say L's, which
Yeah.
okay
Is
is
racist.
racist, but it's their joke in a way, 'cause
Yeah.
like
Well,
I
if you watch South Park, right? Like they
yeah
have
it all ma
shitty walk, right? And shitty sushi, right? So it is it but that but that's again, it, the parody part is to show that this is how the stereotypes are made, and they're anti that in real life. These are people that
Right.
surround themselves with ethnicity and cultural awareness. So they do it to point the finger at US in particular, because that's where they live, right? That's why they make fun of Canada and us being
The heads.
heads, yeah, the heads, and how we talk about things like this and stuff, right? Like they parody, yeah, they parody. I mean, I'm sure I will have said a five times in this podcast. So if you're listening, start counting, and it's maybe a drinking game. I'm not sure,
Maybe I'll make an
perhaps.
Instagram post out of it as a counter or something, if I remember.
Yeah,
Ha
bing, bing,
ha.
bing.
Well, so as a non-American, non
Yes.
is this an honest portrayal of how Americans seem to you?
So I was going to spin that on you. So I think it's cute that you asked it, because like it, I think this is what the world thinks of America. This is literally what the
Yes.
world thinks about America. So
Of
I was
course.
going to spin that back on you. I was going to ask that same question. I was going to say, how do you feel as an American? Like,
So I think this is our stereotype. Like we were talking about how they're using dialect and racist language to be
stereotype
part of the
other
stereotype
cultures.
of other
Yeah.
cultures and everything. This is our stereotype, because I have a feeling they're also making fun of people after 9/11, if you have to think of the time frame, that were all like gun-toting America, like literally America, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that is what they're making fun of. So yeah, I honestly, I think at the time, I don't know if it's still true to this day, to present day, 2024 as of this recording. But I only say the year in case somebody's listening to this in the distant future and is like, what year? What do they mean? America is this utopia, or we're a third world country. Who knows what's gonna happen in the future?
Yeah, maybe there won't be things like listening devices.
And I have the number one podcast in the world. That is the dream. Mwah! No, but I feel like this is our stereotype. This is how we are perceived, and it makes sense because of how things were handled back then and how things are still handled to this day.
Yeah. Nothing's as much as like I think when you talk about films and how they hold up over time, like I read an article, I think it was written by Yahoo, but it was a really well-written article to talk about. It's more prevalent now, and that article was written about 5 years ago. And I think even now you think about it, with everything that goes on and how America still is the world police. Like they've owned that title, you know, because of like first off, other people aren't stepping up to do it. And, they feel it's necessary. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Right. I feel
even
like.
Canadians, like, we get, I don't want to say bitch slapped, but we should be bitch slapped in the sense that as far as the, say, the G8 or whatever, all the different United Nations or whoever were the agreements that all happened after World War II was that people were going to have this much towards not another war effort or whatever. So I'm not an army person, so I can't think in those mindsets, but you're supposed to put so much money towards protecting your country. And Canada just went, yeah, maybe. And they put a small portion of our, GDP towards it. And then we just rely because America's just going to have to save us if something happens to us. Like if Russia comes over the Arctic and decides to invade, America's not going to let that happen.
Well, they have to go
So,
through Alaska first,
yeah. Well,
so
no, that's if they come in that port. They just go over the top, like in their boats or something, or
What do you
planes,
mean?
or
The Earth is flat. How dare you?
oh,
They're
so
just
they have to
gonna make a straight line.
crawl under the and like grappling hook under the plate, and then come over that plate into Canada, and march through. So America's not going to let that happen. So yeah, I mean, I think in fairness to the US, they have been protectors of the rest of the world. And sometimes people forget that we can complain about all the things that they do, but a lot of things happen good because of America that people forget.
And I feel like we self-proclaimed that title as America. I'm
Yeah.
saying we, meaning the royal, the international,
Collective.
we as America
Fuck
have,
yeah.
fuck yeah, given ourselves that title since World War II, right? Would you say
Yeah.
that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I think we're in World War One. When you look at, I'm a little bit of a history buff, but like at the end of World War One, Britain still owned a lot of everything. Like not just the world, but it owned the seas, it owned the air, it owned all of this, right? And then after World War II, I mean, I could talk for hours about the US, how much money they made on both sides of the war before they joined it. But that's a whole other conversation. But, once they did join the war, if it wasn't for the US, it would have ended completely differently. And everybody says that. We know it.
Right, because if Pearl Harbor didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's a weird thought experiment to have. Let's change subjects.
Freedom isn't free.
So marionettes.
Yes.
I was reading that Paramount, who produced this or distributed it, thought it was going to be produced it, thought it was going to be cheaper to have marionettes rather than people. And I started laughing when I read that fact because I was just because you don't think about how detailed you need to
Oh,
be
this
until you do it.
Paris,
Yeah.
the set design for Paris alone must have cost forever.
Oh my God. Yeah. The.
The marionette, you marionetting another marionette. Like that part
Well,
just made
so
me laugh.
that is actually the first footage that they sent to the Paramount execs. And they were pissed at first, and then it pulled out, and you saw that it was a marionette playing with a marionette, and they're like, "Holy
Marionette.
shit, this is so smart." I've seen this movie before. I actually worked at a movie theater when this came
Came
out,
out. Oh,
so I remember like going. There was one showing we had that. It was at the end during the dicks and assholes and pussies
what?
monologue that I just remember hearing it when I was going about to go into like see if I needed to sweep or something. It was,
Anyway,
yeah.
what?
Yeah. Well, and it's so smart though, that speech, I have to say.
Yeah,
Because
it's the world we live in.
while it is dumb and it is hilarious, it is basically,
Profound.
yeah, which is sad to say, but also not at the same time because Matt and Trey Parker, like they had they're making a point. They're
Yeah.
poignant, like I
No,
said
yeah.
with the at the top as well.
Can we talk about the voice of intelligence?
Oh my God. The intelligence,
It's like a surfer dude.
the supercomputer. when you so I didn't clock I keep forgetting to clock this every time I see this movie. Do you notice all like the everyday objects that they throw in there as the set design?
Oh yeah, I watch
Apparently
all that stuff.
like the opening France, they use croissants as the
Yeah.
sidewalk or something.
Yes. It's just it's all through it. Like that just costs so much money, but it's so good. Like
My
that's pe
favorite is that the Kim Jong Il statue is a person.
Yes. I know. I can't get over like just every single scene in this. It just there's something funny about it. And I get like 9/11 times 100, and then by the end, I wrote it down. What is it? 9/11 times 200, 2,356, and nobody knows what that is.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. And like the fact how at the end Kim Jong Il is a cockroach, but like a
Yes.
literal cockroach.
Well, did you listen to the last song too? Because like in the order of the songs, like when you sent out the order of the songs,
Oh,
they
it
weren't
was wrong.
necessarily, yeah, but the last song was the
You are worthless, Alec Baldwin.
yeah, and it talks about that he's from another planet.
Oh
I'm just like, what? This just keeps getting better and better as you go on. It's just, oh my God.
like everything about this was just so good and
Yeah.
so funny. I was reading that like they're actually friends with George Clooney because he helped him out with South Park a lot.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, well, so he was a voice actor for the first season, I think, because I know he played a dog. He was the dog, or a dog at one point, and he's also a voice actor in the movie. He plays the doctor that puts a baked potato into Kenny's heart.
What?
Yeah, did you not know this?
No,
Oh
I'm
my
looking it up
God,
as we speak. I'm looking
rewatch
at.
South Park: Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. It is
Oh,
clearly George Clooney's voice.
I almost bought it today, actually.
Oh my
Like,
God,
I'm
do
not gonna
yourself the
lie.
favor and buy it and watch it.
Oh.
And then Matt, and they're also friends with Matt Damon. And they were, because I was wondering, like, how did they pick these celebrities?
Sparky. He played
Sparky the
Sparky.
dog, yes. I was like, how did they pick these celebrities? And I was reading that, like, Matt Damon and George Clooney were like, I'd be offended if you did not put me in this movie.
Yeah,
So,
well, and Matt Damon is also like one of the actors. He is also a Film Actors Guild.
no, but I mean,
So,
but I'm saying like those specific actors like Alec Baldwin, Helen Hunt,
yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson, I was just like, why did they pick these? I don't
Well,
remember 2004
they
that
were all
well.
like every single one of those actors are all ones that are people that go out and oppose injustice. So like when the list that they had was everybody who's an activist in Hollywood, every single one. The only one that's
That
missing in
makes
there is
sense.
Leonardo, and I don't know, maybe they just weren't friends with Leonardo.
Or he
Yeah,
wasn't
like
that vocal at the time.
probably not like back then, but like Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins were at that time the biggest voice of opposition to the Republican Party and everything that went on with it. So yeah, I mean, and Michael Moore, like Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, they actually made him worse because of something that happened during one of his documentaries that he filmed Matt Stone for.
Oh, for that would have been Bowling for Columbine.
Yes.
Yeah, for
I was like,
sure.
it's not Fahrenheit 9/11. Which one is it?
Yeah.
But there's something that happened with that they Matt and or Trey came
Didn't
off
like how they were portrayed.
negatively. Yeah, so they made him basically a terrorist in
Did
this movie.
you have you seen that movie, by the way, Bowling
I
for
have
Columbine?
not.
Oh my God, you have to see that movie. No, seriously, you have to see it. Like, have to, have to, have to. Of all the people that are in that movie, the person who comes off as the shining star of the movie, like, who is like a person you should all look up to, is Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you have to see this. Like, when I saw that, and I saw it in cinemas when it came out, and I was like, holy cow, do I ever have a lot of respect for Marilyn Manson? Go, like, fast forward 15 years and he's a terrible person. It's like been an awful, right? But
It's
and so you just think, oh my God. Yeah, no, totally. You have to see that one. You have to see it. So then you'll get to see why too. Like, you've got to build the whole book of Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You just have to see the whole book. The book needs to be completed, John. Has to be completed.
Too bad we can't do Orgasmo because I don't think that has a really any musical elements to it.
I bet you it does. You know what? I'm gonna watch Orgasmo this week and I'll
Okay.
send you a message.
Great.
I just love their stuff.
So I was wondering, like, they never really explain why they picked Gary Johnston to be the one. It's not like he had training of any sorts to be a special agent. It's not like.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was going to ask you the same question because you are in the theater, and I was like, so why did they pick a stage actor over picking an actual film actor? And I think because true thespians are known to be stage actors as being the true actors.
But like I
That's
don't under
my thought.
I was waiting for what's his butt Spotswood to be like to reveal that like Gary's his son or something, you know, because I was just like, why?
He was just the best actor in the world, so that's why they picked him. Like, and it just so happened he had the most popular on Broadway,
Well, because well, so
which was a
like
spin-off, it was a parody of Rent.
so like everyone in the in Team America, they have their own specialty,
Yes.
except for Carson, because well, he's not really in it. He dies right away, but
Yeah.
we don't know what his specialty is.
Please and Lisa, by the sounds of things.
And now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, are these people actually soldiers, or are these characters supposed to be like any form of combat training
Well,
besides when they get
think of
tapped?
Armageddon. Like, just think of Armageddon, because to me,
Yes.
this bleeds Armageddon, because every single person that was pulled together from Armageddon was a specialist in their own right to save the planet. And it's just like, that's the same thing. They all have, and I love how their specialties, like the one guy is like the best martial artist in
In
Detroit. It's like, not in
Detroit.
the world, not in America, just in Detroit. It's just like the
And
all-American from Nebraska, like just the best quarterback from Nebraska.
Sarah's a psychic.
It's just an empath, I think.
An
Wasn't she an empath? Yeah, and then they didn't
no.
believe that she had the powers, but she just proved that she can talk to cats
Cats?
that were supposed to be
Panthers.
panthers.
Panthers. That was smart, I have to say,
That
using
was
cats as
so, and
panthers.
the cat. I love how the cats actually ripped off his head and ate him
Oh my
too.
God, so funny. There's a word that they say in this movie that I don't know what it is. What the hell is valmorification?
I have a feeling it's kind of like Face Off, you know, the movie Face Off.
I love that movie.
Yeah, again, another action movie.
Face off.
The just every scene that you just it's so every scene is iconic to me, like when they land in Paris and just blow everything up, when they land in Egypt, and then like
Blow
they're just
everything up.
Yeah, blow everything up, but they're walking down the street. It's like you're making, and oh, I wrote this down because it made me laugh so hard. Fear not, Muslim friends. We are here to find terrorists. I'm freeing your mind of all anxiety. Just
My God.
and they blow all the sand, and they're like like choking on it, and then it's like they're not hiding anything. And as Gary walks into the bar, he's like, I'm a terrorist looking for terrorists. Just like, who does that?
That bar.
Oh, and the music. Oh my God. The
Star Wars
music.
It's so fucking amazing. Like, oh my God. This movie is so smart, I will say.
Yeah. Well, they are like, they've been doing parody of American culture and world culture for since Cannibal the Musical. Right? It's like
probably even before then with other film projects, the school projects.
Yeah. They're just political satire beyond belief.
Although this movie broke them. Like, because they were working for like 17 hours a day, I think I read.
Yeah.
Like some ridiculous number for a long time. And they're like, we can't do this again. I think also on top of South Park.
Yeah. Which it is so intensive because they had to be so topical, right?
Right. Because we've all seen the documentary about how they build an episode in a week.
Yeah.
That is
insane to think about.
So insane. But it makes it interesting because, like, now, you know, something happens on Monday and by Friday they have a full episode talking about it.
Yeah.
But they go about it a different way than, like, Saturday Night Live. Where Saturday Night Live will do a one-to-one parody. Whereas South Park, I feel like, will weave it into something else.
Yeah, like a subplot. It's like a subplot inside of the story, which, like, I find so much more creative to,
like,
do
for
that.
Example, the documentary about how they make an episode. They're making the episode Human Centipede, which is like, what happens if you don't read the terms and conditions and everything and you just click? Like, what does that mean? And so it's topical, but then they, like, go off. They might do a lot of drugs in the meantime. Like, I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouth and say that.
Who doesn't nowadays? If you're going to be funny.
Yes.
Thank God it's legal in a lot of places now. That's all I want to say.
Oh, God. I'm on IMDb right now. I'm just looking. And in the, like, quotes box, the one that they have showing everyone is the line that Matt Damon says repeatedly, which
Matt
is his
Damon.
Name, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Which
the only thing Matt Damon says.
I don't know if they changed it or if they were inspired by the puppet itself, but because the puppet looked deformed and looked not like Matt Damon at all, they were like, well, now he has to just say his name.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh God. Like, this movie is just so, it's so interesting too, because, like, just the name World Police made me be like, they're just Americans though. Like, they should have more an international press. But, you know, as we've discussed, it's the self-proclaimed name that America's given, the American military has given themselves.
Yeah. 100%. Well, they're not even military. They're just world police.
I totally would buy, though, that this is like the IMF in Mission Impossible, where it's some group that the other military organizations do not talk about because they're like, it's a joke. It's an embarrassment. It doesn't exist.
But then it's on the news all the time. Here it is, Team America, world police, destroying another Cairo, destroying Paris. And there's, like, there's so many lines, like, just even the one where Gary, like, the details where he's telling the story to the terrorists and they're all crying. And he's like, I like you. You've got balls. And he's like, I like balls. Just like, it's like they're grade five boys wrote this movie, but with the intelligence of, like, Mensa people. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than that.
I don't know what to say. Like, the technical aspects of this is so fascinating. Like, I don't understand how they move their mouths. Like, is it robotic? Is it actually a string or something?
Was it animated? I don't know. It's all, you know what? I like to call it movie magic.
Movie magic. Yes. Well,
That's what
no,
I.
and but like that's what I think about when I'm watching this. I'm like, how did they do this? Like, I probably should dust off my DVD because I didn't watch it on the D I didn't watch my DVD and find the special features and see if they have a behind the scenes or something. Cause it is so fascinating. And like they're referencing Thunderbirds, right?
Oh yeah.
Like
Like it's
that's
kind of a
what.
bit of yeah.
And so it's just so interesting that they're like, yeah, they're marionettes. You're gonna see the strings. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like you can't hide them. And it would have cost them, well, and back then I don't think this, well, they're probably gonna CGI'd it out, but that would have cost them just way much more money back then. Like nowadays, CGIing strings out of stuff is just like press a button and it just all disappears. But back then it would have been frame by frame. They would have had to probably take out those strings. So they just said, fuck it, they're puppets.
But I
And
feel like that adds to the humor, though, that
oh, 100%.
they're
And
puppets and everything.
the sex scene. Can we talk about the sex scene?
I
Like,
was waiting for this to come up
oh my
naturally.
God, that's like that is literally like, I don't know about you, but I've never been more turned on by wooden puppets in my life.
Are you sure they're wooden?
Oh, there was a lot of wood, I can tell you that when I watched that scene. And there's like just scenes in that, like people that are missionary people just would have been like, what is happening right now?
Wait, and it's so hilarious because like the MPAA is such a joke. They originally gave them an NC-17 rating because of the sex scene with puppets. It's puppets. It's like Ken and Barbie having sex, literally, because there's nothing down there.
Yeah, there's you can even see them. They show
They
there's
show
nothing that's
you.
there's no penetration, but I mean they did do golden shower and a magic dump, right? So what is the proper term for magic dump? I don't know.
I don't think my
The
version
Boston
had
steamer? Is it Boston
that.
steamer?
I don't think my version had that. I think I
What?
had
You
like
didn't
a.
see that? You didn't see that version? That was like the
Probably. The
that's
one
like the
that. I watched the one that's on Paramount Plus. So I
Oh,
don't think they
okay.
had that
Yes.
version, the unrated
See,
version.
I have the unedited version where they do the Boston steamer and the golden shower and at like just
So did Ben Affleck show up in your version?
Ben Affleck show up in my version? No. Did he show up in your version?
I remember on the DVD there is a cut scene of Ben Affleck and he's just a hand. Because he like it was at the Film Actors Guild meeting that they have in the beginning, and he is like talking up a storm, bah, 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 and it's his
It's just
hand.
a hand. Oh my
Yes.
God. I what's funny is that the song about Pearl Harbor sucks and Matt Damon's like I'm just and it's funny because it does. The movie does suck. They're not telling you something that's a lie. And then the and then they put that back in. Pearl Harbor sucked a little more than I missed you. It's one of the lines of the song.
And then there's Montage, which is so fucking good of a song.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, like it's they're telling the truth that it's like all the words that are in it are exactly how you feel when you see a montage in a movie. It's like, first off, you don't need them. They're terrible. And it's like lazy writing. And they just write all the stuff you're thinking about, these terrible things in movies.
Even Rocky had a montage.
No. And
Rocky had a montage.
is. And yeah, even that montage is terrible. I'm like, that's also terrible.
I can't. I can't with this. I love it. Yeah.
The Michael Moore scene too, that gets me the most. Back to your comment about noticing the little details. He's eating the hot dog and there's a mustard stain on his shirt.
Oh my God. I didn't even clock that.
I just stopped and rewinded. I was like, who does that? They have me eating a hot dog. And then I'm looking at him like, wait, he's got a mustard stick.
Wonder if everyone was a good sport about this. I doubt it, but
Oh, Alex, maybe they're all their friends. Because I, like I said, I my belief and understanding is these guys are pretty left-leaning people, right? So they do this stuff. These guys are all probably their friends, like Janine Garofalo and
oh
right,
yeah,
Sam
like
Jackson,
they,
they're all.
because like when they fight them and like murder every single actor, literally,
Oh,
it
yeah.
is so funny.
And how they all die, like Helen Hunt's one. What did she say? She's like, bring it on, bitch. I've been in action movies.
Where and like you can see them, they're like, they do The Matrix, they do Kill Bill, they do they have other references.
Yeah, it's all through it.
But like those two that I mentioned are not like the basis of the action movie that they're parodying, which is more of the fast, well, this was before Fast and Furious was the Fast and Furious we know now. So maybe Mission Impossible, maybe some war movies that I can, besides Pearl Harbor, because Pearl Harbor sucked.
A little
Maybe
more.
actually you're right with the Armageddon.
Oh yeah, like I was feeling Armageddon through this all the way through it. But also, like to your point about, I think they didn't have any like technology in it because they're fucking puppets. So it's like
Intelligence is the only technology that they have.
exactly. Or the plane that lifts up and out comes a Jeep. But the thing that makes me laugh about it is that like the whole time that you're watching it, you're going like, okay, so you saw the Matrix reference, but it's not because like it had the stop motion and stuff, but it's how they shot the puppets that you go, that's a scene from the Matrix. That's a scene from this. And you kind of you're because we've been absorbed all of this action stuff for so many years. You're like, okay, that's when that just like they probably had a reference with the two ladies fighting that was probably like Charlie's Angels. Because
No, that
Charlie's
was
Angels
Kill
would have came
Bill.
out. Was it?
That because especially the ending when Helen Hunt got sliced in half, but they cut her off the
Yes, you're right. That was. But then they had the other one where I think it was Sarah did the big running jump kick and kicked her and went flying. That was like a scene from Charlie's
Oh yeah,
Angels,
probably, yes.
right? So that's what I mean. It's like there's so geekdom in this. Like there's so much geekdom in this. Like I bet you there's somebody that has watched this and broken down every single scene to say, okay, this is a reference to this movie and this is a reference to this movie.
I
This
mean,
is an
the IMDb trivia probably has all of that, because I feel like at one point I read about how many times they say fuck in it. And I was like, who's counting? Who's counting all the fuck? Oh, like kapla that they say
Oh my
that
God, that's the
is
best.
Klingon.
Is that what it is?
When according to IMDb, when the Film Actors Guild decides
Goes
to go to North
kapla.
Korea and members all shout kapla, it's Klingon for success.
See, that's what I mean. It's just so geekdom. It's not funny.
Oh, here's
So.
one. Sean Penn was so insulted by the filmmaker's suggestion that there was no shame in not voting that he wrote an angry letter to Matt Stone and Trey Parker with the closing line, "A sincere fuck you, Sean Penn." So somebody was offended. There we go.
Well, there you go. Well, and Sean Penn is one of the most outspoken, right? Like, how many times did you see his Haiti commercial?
Oh, I'm reading that the Korean that they, because this is kind of harkens back to our discussion about the Japanese people in Cannibal.
Playing the indigenous characters, yeah.
Yes, but I think in that one we said that they were actually speaking Japanese, and there are translations for that. In this one, it's completely gibberish. All the Korean is gibberish.
Oh yeah, of course, 'cause like you can even hear words in there that are like, okay.
What? Wait, hold on. I wrote it. Is it in sharp, my sharps? Because there was a time in this movie that, oh, here we go. The captions on Paramount, I wrote, this is what I wrote down. The captions on Paramount Plus actually spell out whatever the gibberish they use for the terrorist language and Kim Jong Il's pronunciation of words. So, like, when he's singing "I'm so Rony," it is Ronery. That's what they're spelling. They're not spelling lonely. They're spelling Ronery. So, phonetically, like,
Yeah, phonetically.
brilliant. Brilliant, whoever made that decision.
Yeah, well, probably they Trey Parker had a say in it.
Is
Okay,
there
so
any?
as far as iconic scenes though, we know the sex scene, we know the blowjob scene with the one to get Gary to come back. We know, like, in my opinion, the scene I think about from this movie the second most, other than the sex scene, is the barf scene. To me, that is the best barf parody scene ever done.
See,
I use that gif all the time when I want to state something that I don't like.
I think that just goes on a little too long, in my
Oh,
opinion.
I could have gone on for another 5 minutes. I would have been happy.
The one that stands,
It's
the one that comes to mind a lot is the Dick's Pussy's Asshole monologue.
Yeah, that's a classic too.
We're dicks. Kim Jong-un is an asshole, and all of you are pussies. Which I forget that he heard in the bar, speaking of your vomit scene, that some random person says it to him and then he repeats it. Like, I thought it was his own speech. Again,
Yeah,
I should
he
watch
got
this
it.
movie more.
You'll grow as a person, I think.
Jim, is there anything else you want to talk about though before we go into Trap and Flat?
I just want to say the scene with Susan Sarandon where he says her acting is fading with age. It's just like
Yeah. That was definitely one of their opinions. Maybe it was Pam's, I don't know.
And Lisa's comment to Gary, "You had me at dicks, fuck assholes." Like after their sex scene, of course she.
Let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Yes.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because I really didn't have that many flats. I'm not going to lie. Because, like, once you have that mindset of this is satire deal, like, you can disassociate the racism from the satire because, like, that's the point of this movie. Like, say it's racist, but understand that it's all satire. So really didn't have that many flats, although I will say my first flat is the vomiting going on for too long.
See, that's a sharp for me.
My second flat is for cutting Ben Affleck. How dare they?
That's also a sharp.
What, that they cut Ben Affleck? Come on, it's funny that he's just a hand.
That probably would have been funny.
And then my last flat. Now this is, I'm being very serial here. I'm being super serial here. At the end, when Lisa is in the tower with Kim Jong Il, right? I'm flatting that she's not wearing Korean clothes, like the traditional Korean clothing that we do see when those ladies on stage perform. She's wearing a Mandarin gown, which wrong country. I think I understand why they picked it because they're like, it's vaguely Asian.
I don't know if that's why they would have done it. Like, I have a feeling, this is why I'm guessing this. I could be way off base, but it is almost like something that Team America would do because, like, I think they're so intelligent and about cultural awareness that I don't think they would unintentionally put in a different dress. I think because she is from Team America, who's clueless about cultural
No,
differences.
this is what allegedly, if we have to use some sort of our own guess, that I think that's what Kim Jong Il put her in. Because remember, she's in the basement with
Yeah.
everyone,
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they're all, and
Yeah.
he's like, "Now you're gonna come with me and watch the
Yeah.
world burn." So, like, I think he put her in that. But that's just me. I needed to get my own costuming note out of the way.
Well, you do understand costumes,
I
so, you
do,
know.
yes. Yes. Anyway, do you have any flats?
Yeah, I think just going back to it, like, and you kind of mentioned it earlier that movies that don't hold up that seem it's almost the racist sexist part, we'll just call it the ist part, is because it's so overtly parodying it that you can accept it. Because other movies, it's not necessarily parodying it. Like it's like what's that Western, Blazing Saddles. Same thing. It's so overtly parodying the racism that you're allowed to think it's funny, right? Like I'm not sure if you've done Blazing Saddles, but that's another one that is it's extremely racist, but the most intelligent person in the movie is person of color. So it and he's parodying everybody, like Mel Brooks, who's Jewish, is parodying, like he
And there is,
parodies the Jewish.
isn't there one moment that he calls it out as well in the
Yeah,
movie?
like all through it. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
okay.
that's what I mean, though, right? It's like there's certain movies that seem to have done it well. Well, and also you got like someone like Mel Brooks who's got Hitler on ice. Like, who does that? Like, Mel Brooks' family probably died in the Holocaust, and he's parodying Hitler on ice. Like that's that's where it's complete. The parody is there, and you can get past it. But it also does sometimes as you're watching it. You have this little pinge of guilt within your body,
Oh,
but
of course, yeah.
then you, yeah. So that's the only, but you can't get past it because it's so well done that it has to. So yeah, I would say that would be the only thing that sits with you. But otherwise, yeah, this is a
So
perfect movie.
is your flat that
My
twinge of guilt
guilt,
that you have watching this and liking
yeah,
it?
it's
You know what?
my.
No, that's right. That's smart, actually.
Huh.
To be
It's
like, but at least you, as a film connoisseur, you are also understanding, like, this is satire, this is whatever, this is not right, but it's also funny. And both statements are true with this. And I agree,
where
because I had the same journey too, where I was like, this is very racist. It's also very funny.
yeah, and it's also like it's pointing fun. Making America more look more bad than anyone else in this movie. So it's self-deprecating. So yeah, I'd say that's my really only flaw, my internalized guilt.
Okay, let's get to sharps. So my first sharp is how they embrace the comedy of being marionettes.
Oh
Let's be
yeah.
real here. They were
Oh yeah.
like, "We're doing puppets. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's go to town."
Let's get these fucking puppets going.
I'm sharping the opening with the marionette doing a marionette
Oh,
in France.
100%.
I'm sharping Film Actors Guild.
And I'm calling them fags all
That's why, because it's so funny. They're like, fag. When especially when is it Alec Baldwin or it's somebody where it's like, that's fag. That was fag's fault. Fag, that was all fag.
Yes.
I'm also sharping intelligence. I don't know what it stands for, and I don't think they actually said what it stands for,
I'm curious.
but it
Keep
is
talking.
an
I'll see if I can
acronym,
find it.
apparently. My next sharp is obviously the dicks, pussies, and assholes speech. I'm sharping the camera hitting Gary and knocking the puppet down while on the motorcycle. There is a scene
Yes.
where he rides into the camera and gets knocked down. And I was like, clearly that's a mistake, but it's so funny, and I'm glad you kept it in.
Oh, totally.
And my last sharp is for using cats as panthers.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like the
100%.
Fuck it. And my last sharp is going to be the details in this. Like, there are lists of things. They use, like, the cocktail umbrellas. They use takeout boxes, like Chinese takeout boxes for buildings and things like that. So I think, like, if you get a chance, just go through and watch and, like, pay attention to everything. Because everything is something. Aha!
I absolutely agree with every single one of those.
I really wanted to just sharp this whole movie, but I was like, no, let's find
things. Gotta pick some of the faves. So this person put one in, whether this is it, but it's the only thing I could quickly find. Integrated network for tactical espionage, linked lossless, interpretation of geometric and electric network cluster epitomes. Epitome. Yeah, whether that's true, I don't know. There didn't seem
epitomes,
to be a clear.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. So that's the one. Definitely sharp for me is the barf scene. It's one of my favorite gifs that I use all the time. Like, I love that scene, and I love the volume of vomit that's he's lying in at the end. It's like there's more vomit than could have possibly fit inside that motherfucking puppet. So that's definitely one.
Yeah.
When the shark eats Hans Gruber, like any time one of the real animals ate somebody was just like,
that's not Hans Gruber. That's a real person.
Yeah. Whatever his name. Oh, what's his name?
Hans
the guy
Blix.
From. Yeah, that's his name. Okay.
I had to look him up.
Yeah. He's the guy who was the guy who was doing weapons of mass destruction for Iraq. He was the same guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I only know one Hans, and that's Gruber. So that's everybody whose name is Hans is Gruber to me.
Or Zimmerman.
Or, yeah, Hans. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what if we're talking about the musical score.
Well,
that's
course,
Zimmer.
Yes. Zimmer.
Not man. But maybe
Sorry.
He was Zimmerman, and he changed
know.
To Zimmer.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We're doing great, everyone.
You know
I
what?
Do have,
this is
I do,
the best.
I do have another IMDb trivia fact for you. In the
it.
Overhead shot of Gary lying in the giant puddle of vomit, it is actually Trey Parker wearing a fake pair of legs, so his proportions more closely match those of the marionettes. The vomit is a mixture of soup and beer.
Nice! Which probably was probably what he was barfing.
And then the next fact is like much like the Thunderbirds, and I'm paraphrasing this one, much like the Thunderbirds, whenever they have like hands in the shot, it's human hands like makeuped or something to look like puppet hands, and
yeah.
You can clearly tell that. Though
other sharp I would have, well, I've got a few too, but the intelligence in this writing, like they we talked about it, but like just even how it comes back full circle, like I remember like at the beginning when Gary's gonna get into the limo with him and he's like, I've seen this before, I'm not getting into that thing, and then he's joking that yeah you're gonna now suck my dick, and then it comes back later in the movie. It's just like things that in a normal movie that would be that, and plus all of the references, like it is paced out exactly like an action movie would. They've got those scenes in it where each character kind of has their own soliloquy about where they came from. So they develop the characters. Like each character, you know these characters deeply, and they're motherfucking puppets. Like the guy who's angry, he hates actors because he was molested by cats.
Oh my God,
like,
yes.
It was just like every single character, how you heard their backstory. And then the whole triangle of sex triangle, that he loves her and she loves him and he loves her, and it was just like, it's just like a Three's Company sketch. It just, there was so much cleverness to the writing that just it's like it's a comedy, it's an action film, it's a love story, it's just everything you could possibly fit into one movie. And I guess it's not a musical only because they didn't have anybody actually singing it other than Kim. But maybe that makes it classified as a musical.
There's two of I would.
There's two scenes that they're singing.
See, I would almost want this to be more of a musical where they are singing.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Probably more expensive, but
yeah.
I would have. Yeah. But
you know what I'm going to say, though, right? If you're going to go full musical.
Ken Russell it?
well, that. But also just opera it.
Just opera it.
Don't
yeah.
pussy out. Like, why do people pussy out and make a fucking musical? They just need to opera it. Just
because they're dicks and dicks yeah. fuck pussies.
But they also fuck assholes.
But they also fuck assholes. But assholes don't fuck pussies because or dicks because then they'll just get shit everywhere.
That's right.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? Unless you're wait, are you done with your sharps?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't list the entire movie. So, this whole movie is a sharp.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I just wrote down montage because I thought yeah. Of playing America, fuck yeah, I would be the stereotype that we were talking about.
Yeah, see,
it is a banger,
is one...
I will say.
Yeah.
But montage is more the one that I'm like, no, this is the one because
it's catchy and you can dance to it.
It'll help me get through simple tasks that I wish were a montage in a movie.
Yes. You know, it's almost like you need to have it as a soundbite so that when you're watching a montage, you know what? I'm going to do that when I get off. I'm going to create a soundbite. So when I'm watching a movie and there's a montage, I'm just going to pull out my phone and play it.
Montage.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would say that one. And because I really hate Ben Affleck and his acting for the most part, I probably would put that one in there as a playlist for me. I almost want to play that.
Ben Affleck isn't in this movie.
No. The song about him being a terrible actor.
Oh. which one was that? Was that Freedom Isn't Free?
No, that's
the end of an act.
No, that's Pearl Harbor Sucks.
Is that the actual name of it? Fuck.
I think so. You didn't give it to me, so I just assumed it's Pearl Harbor Sucks.
Well, fuck my research. Fuck everything, I guess.
Just everything. Well, and you know, if you watched it, did you say you watched it on Prime? Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus.
Have you seen that on Prime? Like when you pause it, it tells you the song and who and the artist.
That's too much work.
That's makes it easy.
No, I know. Well, because
they listen to the song and
it's
you press
the
pause.
X-ray,
and go,
yeah.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me see. Freedom Isn't Free. Durka Durka. I'm Sorori. It's not even on IMDb. Interesting. Well, okay. Yeah. But that one was also really funny, I will say. That song that you're talking about with Pearl Harbor Sucks. And on that note, Jim, we're done with the episode. We did it. We did it.
It's over.
America! Fuck,
fuck
yeah!
Yeah!
Do you have anything you would like to plug or promote?
I always like to plug things. But in particular, my podcast, which is Film Rage Podcast. You can find us on all of the socials at Film Rage YYC. And you can see, in my opinion, our fabulous website at filmrageyyc.com or email us at filmragecalgary@gmail.com.
This is coming out July 1st. Is Voyage
Canada Day
out?
That's Canada Day.
Well, happy Canada Day, everyone.
Canada Day.
I only did it because it timed out perfectly with being close to 4th of July, but 4th of July, another episode's coming out. So, but
this is for Canada.
This is for
Blame
Canada.
Canada. Blame Canada.
What was I asking you? I don't remember. Oh,
plugging stuff.
Was that? Is that out already at this point?
No, it's not. We're holding it. Like, I know we're keeping you in suspense because I need to get more content before we roll up a patron thing.
It.
So we're holding on to this goodness. Just don't. I mean, if you drop dead one day, and then we'll release it because then it'll be worth money.
Oh, so you don't have to pay me. I see. I see.
No, see, there'll be money and then we'll pay your estate.
Great. And if you, I don't know, if you actually didn't like this movie and you can give me a valid reason why, I would love to hear it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Like I said, this is episode 349, everyone. So you know what that means. The next episode is 350, and it's a milestone episode that just so happens to fall on the 4th of July, but what we are doing has nothing to do with the 4th of July, kind of. We have recorded a episode that we did live in front of an audience and live in front of everybody. And it's going to be released, and we're going to be talking about Across the Universe. There may be some singing. There may be some other things. Who knows? I don't.
Tune in and find
Tune in
out.
and find out. Jim, thank you so much for popping back onto the podcast
I
with this.
love popping in.
This was such a delight. It was like, well, I mean, like I said, I've seen this movie a bunch of times before. So watching this, I'm like, oh, I got this. We got it.
And you know the okay, so everyone I've brought on for. It's every single one that you've liked. I haven't brought one on that you've went like, I know there've been some wackadoos that we've got, but every one that I've chosen, you've loved.
I am like you, where the crazier the better.
Oh, well
But
then.
like, if there's some crazy stuff that is not good, you know,
Okay, well, do you want me to find something that's wackadoo
I
crazy not
challenge
good?
you to find something that's not
Oh
good,
man, I
but
was.
wackadoo.
I think though, okay, so because we've kind of done a duo for different countries now. So we've done Toucan Russell, which is the UK.
England, yeah.
And now we've done two that are American. I think we need to jump to another country. So
I'm gonna leave that into your capable
yeah,
hands.
I'm gonna do some. I got a thought. I think there's one that might be a musical that is so fucking wackadoo
Great.
that I
Challenge
want you to see.
accepted.
Nice.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.